Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Chof Aleph. We begin on Chof Aleph Amar Aleph, 13 lines down from the top. We remind ourselves, in yesterday's share, we had a machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim, and we just come to the conclusion of that now. We remind ourselves that the Chachamim held that in a situation where you had the two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, who signed on a shtar, so the Chachamim's opinion was, if you had the two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, who were testifying about a shtar, and they were claiming that it was their own signatures, so each of them could verify their own signature if they were testifying about the content of the shtar. But if one of them were to have died, then the Chacham Amar L'Chumra, in a situation where one of them had died, so then, Tzrichim Shnayim in Hashuk L'Hayat Olav. According to the Chachamim, you would need two people to come along and say that that was the signature of the person that had died. It would not be allowed to have the other aide testify that that was the signature of the person who had died. So in this situation, it was the Rabbanan L'Chumra. Now, the Gemara questions, what happens if you don't have two people that could come to testify about the signature? Let's say Reuven who passed away. So Shimon can testify that that's Reuven's signature, but he's not acceptable. Otherwise, he's giving 75% of the testimonies we said yesterday. So now, all you have is Shimon and one other witness that can testify about Reuven's signature. So we seem to be stuck over here. So the Elekotre Elochat, you only have one witness from the Shuk that is able to go and testify. Plus, you have Shimon that can testify about Reuven's. But if Shimon is testifying about his own signature, he's now testifying about 75% of the testimony, which is not allowed. The two witnesses each have to give 50% of the testimony. So Abai has a great solution. Amar Abai, he says, in this situation, let Shimon, whose signature could not be corroborated by other people, but let him write his signature now. Lichto chasimas yodei achaspa. Let him sign on a shard of pottery, and this way everybody can see what his signature looks like, because he's writing it right here and now. V'shadilei b'deidina, and give it to the Beis Din, throw it into the Beis Din, and now other people can come along and say, yeah, that is Shimon's signature, because we're just seeing it right now. So Shimon doesn't have to testify about his own signature. And everybody deletes the words v'chazule, because it's really, they obviously have to see it, so it should be they first saw it, and then they can establish it and authenticate that this is Shimon's din on the shtar, because they can compare it to Shimon's signature on the shard of pottery. So therefore, Shimon now no longer is needed to verify his own signature. Ah, now Shimon hasn't given testimony about his own signature, he can come along with the other single witness and testify about Reuven. Since Lo Tzarich Ihu Le'asude Achim As Yodei, V'Yazil Ihu V'Hai U'Mesadei A'idach. Since Shimon no longer is giving testimony about his own signature, so he's not involved in that 50%, so therefore, he and another witness in the marketplace who does know Reuven's signature, now you can have two witnesses testifying and authenticating Reuven's signature, because we have two separate witnesses that now are authenticating and validating Shimon's signature. The Gemara says this is a great idea, but just be careful about one thing. You should definitely have Shimon sign on a shard of pottery, which could never be used in some way as a document. The Dafko Achaspa, have Shimon sign on this shard of pottery so it can never be used as a document against him. Avo Amagilasa, but to write it on a Megillah, to write it on a document, to write it on a piece of paper or something that could then be forged, meaning that somebody would write above it, that Shimon, by signing on the bottom, says that he owes me $1,000, so then that you have to be very careful about. So don't let Shimon sign it on a document, on a piece of paper, on a cloth. Aval amagiloso lo. Why? Because Dilmor, because it could be that Mishkach lo inish de lo mali, because you're going to find some person of low moral character. He's not an elevated person, and he's an immoral person, and he's going to find the piece of paper that has Shimon's signature written on it, because if he loved it, he's going to write above it, mind the bite, whatever he wants. He's going to say that Shimon admits that he owes me $1,000. Well, tonight, we learned in the Mishnah, in Bava Basra, where it tells us, if somebody can bring an IOU that doesn't have witnesses on it, but it's written in the handwriting of the person who is claiming that he agrees, yes, I owe so-and-so this much money. The person who's signed on the bottom of this, or his writing is on this document, and it's an IOU, so then it can be collected on even though there are no witnesses. It can be collected, albeit not from property that is Meshubad, only from property that is B'nei Chorin. The reason why you can't collect from Meshubadim is because it doesn't have a kol to it. When you have a document that is signed and authenticated with witnesses, so then it has a kol to it, and therefore it's presumed that people will know about it, and therefore you can collect from this mishubad properties, properties that were leaned against this loan from the date of that loan, because it has a kol to it. It is well known. It's publicized. You can go do a search and find such a document. But something that didn't have authentication, didn't have signatures on it, so then that can't be used to collect from lien property, but it could be used to collect from gova mibnei chorin. So therefore, this is dangerous if you were to sign his name. If Shimon, in our case, were to sign his name on a piece of paper, an unscrupulous person might come along and forge the document saying that Shimon, by signing his name over here, has agreed that he owes me $1,000. So therefore, be careful, only write it on a shorter pottery to do what Abaye suggested, but not on a piece of paper. How do we paskin in this machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim? So we paskin like the Chachamim, that each witness is able to go and just address his own signature. So if Reuven testifies that that's his signature, and Shimon testifies that's his signature, so that essentially makes that shtar a valid shtar. Where says Pshita, why would we think that we pass on like Rebbe over the Chachamim? After all, Yochiv Rabim, Halachic Rabim, we have a general rule, and we don't need an Amora to tell us on each individual case that the general rule applies, because we have the rule that a Yochid against the Rabim wins. So here it's Rebbe, a Yochid against the Rabim, the Chachamim. So of course, the Chachamim win. Why does Yehuda Meshul have to tell us this? So Gemara says no, because we might have thought otherwise. I might have said halacha ki Rebbe mechadeiro. We have a rule that when we have Rebbe one on one against his other colleagues, Rebbe usually wins. So I might have made the mistake and said ba'afilu mechadeiro. I might have said that Rebbe is so great that maybe he even wins against multiple colleagues, not only against every one colleague, but if he argues against multiple colleagues, I might have said that he should win as well. So therefore, Rebbe Yehuda Meshul is telling us that that's not true. Kama shulon. That's why they were telling it to us. Now the Gemara says, a simon nach, nad, chad. This is, again, a simon for the three possible Amoraim who made the following statement that we're about to make. So, nach is Rabbi Chanina bar Chia, nad is Rav Huna bar Yehuda, and the last one, chad, is Rav Chia bar Yehuda. Again, we take parts of the names, that's what this mnemonic was made up. In any event, we now say the Gemara. Amar le Rav Chinina bar Chia le Rav Yehuda, or it was alternately Amile Rav Huna bar Yehuda le Rav Yehuda, or alternately was Amile Rav Chia bar Yehuda le Rav Yehuda. That's the simon over here that we had. They said Umi Amar Shmuel Hachi. Whoever it was that said this Rav Yehuda, they said as follows: did Shmuel really say this din that we just brought down? Amar Yehuda Meshmuel Halachi Dibri Chachamim. After all, the Ha Haushtara. There once was a star. The Nafik Mebedino de Mar Shmuel that came out of Mar Shmuel's court. In other words, Mar Shmuel was overseeing this, and the shtar came out, Bahavik Sibbe, and said, and the shtar, which was certified by Shmuel, mi de osa Rav Anan bar Chia, the asid achasim mas yodei. Since Rav Anan bar Chia came to us, and he testified that these were the signatures of the Edim, the adecha de ime, and there was another person that was with him, Umanu Rav Chanan bar Rabba. This other great sage, Rav Chanan bar Rabba, was with him, and and he came along, and he also passed on both of the signatures. With him was another person, so again, we have the two great Gidolim over here who authenticated the signatures. So, so we therefore authenticated it, and now the Beis Din of Shmuel came out and said that this is an authenticated shtar. Now, you see over here that they didn't just have each person testify about his own signature. Each one of these two great Gedolim testified about his own signature as well as he testified about the signature of his colleague. So therefore, Shmuel seems to be following the view of Rebbe that says that you need two signatures authenticating each signature. It's not enough to have Reuven authenticate his own signature and Shimon authenticate his own signature. You need Reuven and Shimon to authenticate Reuven's signature, and you need Reuven and Shimon to authenticate Shimon's signature, or any two people to authenticate each signature. That goes like Rebbe, and not like the opinion of the Chachamim. So how can you tell me that Shmuel is of the opinion that we pass in like the Chachamim? So Gemara says, no, Amalei. Rebbe Yehuda, who is the one that quoted Shmuel as saying this, said no. That shtar, how ushtara the yas mehava. That shtar that in the basin of Shmuel they were authenticating was a shtar that belonged to orphans. And Shmuel didn't want to take any chances that this would not eventually be able to be collected on. And he did. Lifnei Meshuras HaDin over here. The Chosh Shmuel, Shmuel was concerned that you know what's going to happen? He's going to bring it to a Beis Din that's going to mistakenly pass him like Rabbi. The Chosh Shmuel, the Beis Din Tohen, he's going to think that a Beis Din that's going to be used to collect the Shtar is going to be a Beis Din that mistakenly thinks the Din is like Rabbi, that you need two signatures to authenticate it. And if we don't write down now two signatures, because he had two signatures to authenticate, it wasn't a problem. Bisavah Shmuel, Shmuel said, Dilmo Iko, the Sfirile, Halacha, Kirebi, Mechave Ro, below Mechave Rav. Maybe there will be a Beis Din that will say that, yes, we normally paskin like Rebbe over his colleagues, but not over multiple colleagues. It's only one on one that Rebbe would win, but not one against many. But Ubeha, in this situation, Afilu Mechaverev, this Beis Din might mistakenly think that in this case, that we do pass like Rebbe over the Chachamim, that you need two signatures to authenticate each one. Why? Because Rebbe makes sense that they're really authenticating the signature and not the content of the Shtar like we discussed yesterday. So therefore, Shmuel said, I don't want these poor Yisomim to be losing out because of the Beis Din's making a mistake. And I can easily even go to make sure that if the Beis Din makes a mistake, that nevertheless, the shtar will be able to be collected by having both of these great gedolim sign on the shtar. Sober. So therefore, Shmuel thought, "Avid revocha. I'll do a lifnei meshur sadin. I'll do a little bit extra over here. Kihechi de lo maasade yasbe. In order to make sure that Yisomim don't lose out, I'll make this shtar authenticated, even according to the opinion of Rebbe. Granted, we don't hold like that, but I don't want to take a chance that some future Beis Din will mistakenly think we pass like Rebbe over the Chachamim, and therefore this shtar would not be collectible if we just follow the opinion of the Chachamim. So therefore, Shmuel said, let me do a favor to the Yisomim and make sure that this shtar would be authenticated, even according to the opinion of Rebbe. No harm done. So even though we pass like the Chachamim, I'm making sure that even Rebbe's opinion is looked at over here, and therefore no Beis Din could ever not allow this Yisomim to collect. Okay. I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel. Rav Yehuda says another din named Mishmuel, Eid v'dayan mitzdarfin, that you're allowed to go and combine an aid and one of the dayanim to authenticate a shtar, to authenticate the signatures on the shtar. Amar Rami Bechama, Rami Bechama says, wow, what a great idea. Kama ma'aya hoshmaisa. This is a very, very important and great din that Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, to allow the aid and the dayan to be mitzdarif. One might have said that how can a judge be both the witness and the judge on the case? So it looks inappropriate, but in fact, Rami Bechama said this is a great din. Aid v'dayan mitzdarfin is a wonderful chiddush that Yehuda Amar Shmuel is teaching us. Amar Rava, Rava says, why is this so good? Ma'i ma'al yusa, how come this is such a great din that you're saying? Hefech, in fact, the opposite. Ma'i deko masid sada lo ko masid dayana. Or ma'i deko masid dayana lo ko masid sahada. How can you tell me that it's such a great thing? The aid is saying to us something that the judge doesn't know about. According to the Chachamim, the aid is testifying that the content of the shtar is correct. And therefore, that's why a single aid can go testify, because the other aid is testifying. Reuven is testifying about his content of the shtar, and Shimon is testifying about his content of the shtar. That's why the two witnesses alone can each authenticate their own signature, because they're really, according to Chachamim, testifying about what's in the shtar, not about their signatures. And therefore, you have two witnesses coming along and saying that the shtar is correct. But the judge, he's authenticating the signature. How can you go combine these two things? They're not saying the same thing. And you can see this in the bottom Rashi on the top. Maidako Masid Sada. Eid Hashtar, the Eidim on the Shtar, Meidim al Mone Shebishtar, Kirabonim. They're testifying about the content of the Shtar. Vadayonim, but the judge over here, he's not testifying about the content of the Shtar. Meidim Bifonenu Niskayim. They're testifying the judge about the signatures themselves. So the two people, how can you combine them, Rava says. So Gemara says, you're right. Elokioso Rami Bar Yecheskel. When Rami Bar Yecheskel came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar, he said as follows. Lo titzisinu lahane klali dechol Yehuda ochi mishmei deshvuo. So Rami Bar Yecheskel, who's the brother of Yehuda, this Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, the great Rav Yehuda, was his brother. And he said, don't listen to this statement that my brother made in the name of Shmuel. It's incorrect. You can't be mitzdar at them for the reason that Rava just said. We turn to Chafalaf Amud Beis. The Gemara says further, Ikla Rabinoi Achud Rabbi Chia Bar Abba LeMizban Shumshmi. There once was a situation, Rabinoi, who was the brother of Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, went to a certain place to go and purchase sesame seeds. That's Shumshmi. And for Amar Hachi Amar Shmuel, and he said over also in the name of Shmuel, Eva Diamond Starfit. Again, part of the greatness of this is while he's involved in business dealings about sesame seeds, so he still is going and learning Torah. And while he's there, while they're doing his deal with the sesame seeds, so he still teaches us a din. And he says, Eid v'dayim et starfin. Amar Meir said also, like Rami Bar Chama said before, Kama ma'ayah hoshmaisa. He was very impressed with this din, the Eid and the dayim et starf. However, Amalei Ravashi la'meimar. Ravashi says to Amemar, no. Bishum de'kal say avua di'imach. Now, the father of your mother was Rami Bar Chama. So he says, At Nami Mekal Salah, just because your grandfather, your maternal grandfather, praised this, so you're praising it also? But that was wrong. Kvar Pircha Rava. Rava had explained why Rami Bar Chama was wrong, why this statement from Yehuda or Shmuel was not correct. You can't be Mitzdarif in Eid and Adayin, according to the opinion of the Chachamim. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, Amar Rav Huna. Again, we always like to say all the different Amarayim who said in the name of somebody else. Chol Omer David B'Shem Amar, maybe Gul Eliyahu. That's why we often have these long lines of listing of people in the Gemara. In any event, some say it was Rami Lo Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. It just was Huna said it directly in the name of Rav. The following. You have three judges that are sitting in a beis din to go and authenticate a shtar. Two of the judges say, hey, we know the witnesses, we can attest on our own, we can testify on our own that those are the signatures of the witnesses. However, the third judge, the echot, ain't no makir, he doesn't know it. So what do you do in this situation? So it was said over the name of Rav Huna, or Rav Huna said it over the name of Rav, that in this situation, Ad Shalom Chosmu, if the two judges who do recognize the signature before they sign and authenticate it as a beis din, Me'idim Befanov, V'chosem, they tell the other judge, yes, we're telling you that we can authenticate those two signatures before they've put out an official shtar of beis din saying that this is authenticated. This is what's known as a henpek, that they put out a shtar stating that this is an authenticated document. So if the two judges that recognize the signatures told the third judge that, yes, we can authenticate the signatures, we testify that those signatures are real, so if they did this before the judges signed the henpek, so Me'idim Befanov, V'chosem, say they're allowed to do this. However, Misha Chosmu, if they have already signed, the two judges already signed the henpek, so then Ein Me'idim Befanov Chosim, then the third judge cannot then go and sign. Because if the two have already signed it on behalf of the Beis Din, so the third person who wasn't aware of this before the signing on behalf of the Beis Din can't go and add his name to it. If before it was signed, he's made aware of it, then he can legitimately sign. Otherwise, it looks like it's a false document. Again, I want to say that clearly. The two judges who can authenticate the signature must inform the third judge before they sign the henpek, the document authenticating the shtar, and then all three of them can sign the henpek, the document authenticating the shtar. But if the two judges who know the signatures first sign the henpek, and then they tell the third judge, we can testify that these signatures are in fact the signatures of those witnesses, then the third judge is not allowed to sign because the henpek was written before he knew this, and the henpek states that they all sat and adjudicated this, but he only adjudicated after the signatures, and that's incorrect. So Mora says, are you even allowed to write it up? Are you allowed to write up this document even before they sign it? You're saying the problem is only if they signed it. But that implies that you can write up such a document saying that the three of us sat and based it and authenticated this shtar before all three of them knew about it? Is that allowed? If I'm a Rapapi, Mishmei the Rava, Rapapi said over the name of Rava, Hai Asharta the Dayani, this henpik, this Asharta, this authentication that the Beis Din is putting out. Rashi says, Loshon Chozek, Shemachzikim es Ashtar, Vikosim Ashrinui, that this is basically a statement that is added on to the shtar, what's known as a hempek, and it's added on to the shtar, stating for a fact that this is authenticated by this Beis Din. So Rav Papi said in the name of Rava that when they have such a hempek, the Nichtav Mikamei, if it was written before the authentication occurred, psula, it is merse kishikra. It looks like the mischaze kishikra. It looks like it's false. Because how can you write something that hasn't yet occurred? So the scribe is not even allowed to write down that this shtar has been authenticated by this Beis Din on this day, even though nobody signed it yet. You can't even write it down, Rav Papi said in the name of Rava, before they actually go and do the authentication, because it looks like it's shikra, because it looks at the time that it's written that it's already a fait accompli, but it hasn't been done yet. So to over here, Hochanami, how can the three judges have written up, even though they didn't sign the handpick, how could they have written it up? Hochanami, mischazi kishikra, it looks like it's shikra. This is, by the way, at a wedding where you have the ksuba, so it says ovi always on the shtar, v'kaninon, which means that the kinyan took place. So there are those that don't fill in the word v'kaninon. They either leave out one of the letters or they leave out the entire word, and only after the kinyan is made do they then write v'kaninon, and the kinyan was made because of this concept of merci kishikra. As an aside, there are those that are against this because I can personally attest that a couple of times they forgot to fill that in until after the signatories signed on it, and then you have a big problem. So therefore, there are those great rabbanim that say, no, it doesn't look like merci kishikra, and it's much better to write down the koninon even before the kinyan was made, and only after the kinyan is made do the witnesses sign on the ksuba or sign on the tenoim, because of the concern that you're going to forget to do it, and that's a bigger problem. In any event, this merci kishikra is what Rapapi says in the name of Rava is a problem over here. So right where it says, let's change it around. If Rav Huna or Rav Huna Marav actually said it, this is what they said. Elo Ema, Achelo Kosvu. If this was authenticated by the two judges that knew it, and they told the third judge, yes, we can authenticate those signatures, and only then did they write up the henpik. So Achelo Kosvu Meidin Befana V'Chosin. Then they can write it up and they can sign it because there's no Merci Kishikra. However, once it was already written up, if it was written up before they told the third judge, yes, we recognize these signatures, Mishikasu, then Ein Me'id in Mefanav Chosin, then you can't use it because of Merze Kishikra. It looks a little bit like it's a false document. And even though it's not technically a false document, we don't want even the slightest suspicion that there was any shenanigans or anything wrong over here, because after all, how could you write up this document that an event occurred, even though they didn't sign on it until afterwards, before the event actually occurred? And the Gemara concludes from this three things. Shmami notzlos. We can learn three things from this statement that we revised according to Rav Huna, that as long as the information was transmitted to the third judge that the signatures of the Edim were authentic by the other two judges, so then as long as you did that before it was written up, then you're allowed to write it up. Not a problem. So shmami notzlos, we learn three things from this. Number one, shmami no eid nasedayin. The two judges are functioned as an aid, and then a few minutes later, after they tell the third judge, they're now functioning all as judges. So there's no problem in doing so. That's chiddush number one. Ushmamina number two, dayanim hamakirin chasimos yidei edim, einon srichin lahoy bifneim. And if the judges recognize the signature of the witnesses, so then it's not necessary for them to actually testify formally that they know the signatures. So for example, if all three of the judges recognize the signatures, so that they don't have to have formal testimony and each of them saying, yes, I formally recognize the signature and attest that this signature is the signature of so-and-so. If they have a yediyah, if they have knowledge, if the judges know that that is an accurate signature, they don't have to actually testify in front of each other. So if all three of them know it, they don't have to testify it. And that's because we learn out from here that the two of them only testified in front of the third judge, but they didn't have to testify in front of each other. And Shmamina number three, Ushmamina Dayanin Shein Makirin Chasimasi De'edim, if one of the judges, as in our case, did not recognize the signatures, Tzrichin L'hoyed B'fnei Kol Echa B'echa, then you must, in fact, go and testify in front of him so that he should know that the signatures are accurate. As Tosa says in Dibra Masel, B'fnei Kol Echa B'echa, I might have thought, the Sokka Dayetecha Mina Kivin She'idu B'fnei Shnayim, Yochal Shlishi Lichto V'osmach HaShnayim, you might have thought that as long as two of them know, the third one can just sign his name. Even though they didn't testify in front of him. So, Kamash Balon, the Chiddush Ovir number three is no, that the third one has to have the testimony of the other two judges in front of him before he's allowed to go and sign. So those are the three things we learn now from this revised statement of Rav Huna. Now, Maskel Ravashi. Ravashi says, I don't think you can actually learn out all three of those dinim from the case in hand. He says, the first one, yes, but not the other two. Bishlama, I understand the first one, Eid Nase Dayan Shamina Minet. Certainly, there's no way around that. From this case of Rav Huna, you can certainly see that an aid is allowed to subsequently be one of the judges who signs on the henpik. Okay, that's a given. I agree with that. However, point number two, Shmami number two, and Shmami number three, that's not clear from this case. He's not saying that it's wrong, but he says you can't bring a proof from this case. Ella, Dayanin Hamakir Chasimus De Edim Ain Sri Hoy Bifneim. If you're telling me that all three judges that you have, if they each can independently know the signatures and they don't have to actually testify in front of them that they know the signatures, you can't learn that out from over here. Why not? Because maybe in fact you have to go and testify in front of them, but this case was different. Because maybe the fact that they did it for one satisfies this requirement of testifying. The fact that they didn't do it for the other one, that's not a raya. Maybe they did it for this one, it is a raya that's enough. But let's say all three of them knew it, you can't bring me a raya from here that nobody has to say it. Because here, they did say it over in front of the one judge that didn't know, that were testifying that these witnesses are accurate signers, that those are their signatures. So since they did it for one, maybe that's good enough as if they did it for all three. But if all three of them know it, you can't bring me a raya from here that you don't have to say it over. Maybe, in fact, you do have to say it over. So Shvami number two, you can't prove from here. It doesn't disprove it, but you can't prove it from here. And Shmami number three, that you have to go and testify in front of every single one, also lav davka. You can't prove it from here, it doesn't disprove it, but you can't prove it from here. In fact, you don't have to tell in front of all three. Maybe it would be adequate to tell it in front of one of them. And here, shiny hocha, the low komikaimo, hago the cloud. Because in this situation, you had to tell it over because one of them didn't know it. But if all three of them knew it, lav davka that you have to tell it over. Before every single judge. Because in this situation, you didn't have a choice. You don't have to tell over in front of every single judge. Here, you didn't have a choice. There was only one judge that didn't know it, so you had to say it over. If you didn't tell over to this one judge, you wouldn't have had agad at all. But lav davka, if let's say two of the judges didn't know it, then you'd have to tell it over to both of them. Maybe telling it over to one of them would be enough. So therefore, the third shmamina isn't, again, able to be derived from the statement of Rav Huna. Lav davka that it's wrong, but derivations, Shmamino number two and number three, can't necessarily be learned that from this case, albeit Shmamino number one, that Eid Nasadayin, that definitely is true. Where it continues, says, Yosef Rabbi Abba, Rabbi was one sitting and learning, and he said over this din, that we just proved that Eid Nasadayin, and he was questioned on this. Esve Rav Safra, Rabbi Abba. So Rav Safra asked him the following, Ro Shlosha. What happens? When Rosh Hashanah tells us, the Mishnah there says, if three people saw the new moon, and the Hain Beis Din, and they happen to be all judges. So the three judges of the Beis Din are learning and sitting together, and they see the new moon. So they now become Edim. So what did the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah say? Don't have them just paskin. They have to go and have testimony. Yamdu Shnayim, two of them have to go up and remove themselves from being judges, and they become Edim. Yoshivu mechaveirehem, and they add two separate new judges, Eid Talayochid, next to the one who also saw the new moon, but he's not functioning as an aide, he's functioning as a judge, so he's okay. So now you have a new Beis Din made up of one of the original partners, as well as two new people, and then the two judges who saw the new moon, they don't function as judges, they bedavka function only as aide, v'yoyid b'fneihem. And in this situation, the Yomru, now the three judges who hear the testimony from the two former judges who are now functioning only as witnesses, the Yomru Mekudesh, Achodesh, Mekudesh, then they declare that it's Rosh Chodesh. In other words, we don't allow the Edim to be both Edim and Dayanim, because Shana Yochid Nemanai De'atzmo, because the one judge there who's left behind cannot go and proclaim Rosh Chodesh by himself. You need a Beis Din. As Rashi says, we don't allow one judge to go and declare Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, what do you clearly see from here? If you're saying, like we just brought down from Rav Huna, or Rav Huna Marav, that in fact, Eid Nasadayin, so Lomali Kulihai, why did the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah say that you have to have the two judges who saw it, remove themselves from being judges, and let them function as witnesses, then go ahead to additional judges, so you have a basin of three, because you need a basin of three, and have the two former judges testify as Eidim, because they can't function as judges. If Eidim Nasadayonim, why couldn't they function as judges? Very strong question. Let them just sit there and be both Eidim and judges, and fartik, end of the discussion. There's nothing else that needs to be done. It would simplify things tremendously. So mustn't it be that an aid is not allowed to be a dayan? So that was the question that Rav Safra asked to Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba responds and he says, af ledidi kashli, I thought the same exact thing. Why can't the aid nasa dayan? Why did it need to go through this whole thing? So I myself had this question. So I asked this question to Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta, and Rav Yitzchak asked it to Rav Huna, and Rav Huna asked it to L'chia bar Rav, and L'chia bar Rav asked it to Rav. So ultimately, this question came up to Rav, and Rav explained to us as follows. Rav told L'chia bar Rav, his son, and he told everybody else, Hanach li'edus ha'chodesh. This is a separate, unique case by Edus ha'chodesh, because this is a din d'oraisa. In order to make sure that this is done properly, yes, by a din d'oraisa, we don't want an aid to be a dayan, and therefore they had to go through this process. So the two judges removed themselves from being judges, and they function as aid. Then we added two new judges, so we have a beis din of three, and now aid isn't a dayan, and this is for a din d'oraisa. Edus ha'chodesh is din d'oraisa. However, authenticating a shtar, v'kiyum shtaros, that midaraisa is not necessary. By definition, a shtar is mekuyam. It's only the rabbi said in order to get rid of people that are unfortunately immoral and doing inappropriate things and doing all sorts of shenanigans. So the rabbis instituted this concept of authenticating a shtar. V'kiyum shtaros derabbanan. So therefore, since the rabbis set it up, so they were mekel to allow it aid nasadayim, whereas by a din daraisa they wouldn't be mekel. Amar Rabbi Abba said another statement. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, in the name of Rav Huna, Amar Rav, Shlosha Shiyoshu L'kaimis Ashtar. If you have three judges that are sitting down there to write a handpick to go and authenticate a shtar, V'koru Arur Alechod Mehem. And then somebody questioned whether one of them is roy to be a judge. So the Gemara says, Ad Shlo Chosmu, if the other judges had not yet signed on the handpick. So, in other words, they have no negius to this matter as to whether the third judge is good or not. So then, these two other judges, Me'id and Olav, can go to the base that's assessing the qualifications of the third judge, Me'id and Olav v'chosin. They're allowed to go and say, yes, he's a valid judge. There were those questions that were raised about him. The iru that was raised about this one judge is false, and he is then declared by this new base to be a good fit judge. And then the two judges can go and sign with the judge whose questions were raised about him, v'chosin, on this henpek. However, mishachosmo, but if these two judges had already signed the henpek, and now they're being called to give qualifications of the third judge, Amid Malov Hosim. They're not allowed to go and testify about the third judge at that point in time. And then the basin will declare him a valid judge, and then he'll sign with them. Why not? Because we're concerned that they're no gabadover, because they don't want to be associated with a bad judge. Hey, look at that document. These two good judges, and they're associated with this bad judge, so bad judge, it would rub off on them. So therefore, they're no gabadover. So before they signed it, they're not no gabadover. But after they signed it, so then they would be no gabadover if the third judge actually signed with them. So therefore, their testimony is considered no gabadover, and they can't be testifying on his behalf. So Gemara says, Irur demai. What type of an Irur are we talking about over here? If the charge against this third judge was that he was a gazlon, that he's not qualified to be a judge because he's a gazlon, so that would mean that there are witnesses that state that he's a gazlon. So how would it help that these two judges state that he's not a gazlon? We turn to Chof Bezim and Aleph. Treyu Treininu. There are two witnesses that say he's a gazlon, and now these two judges are saying that he's not a gazlon. So this would be a classical case of Treyu Treininu, and therefore we don't believe them, and he wouldn't be considered a valid judge. As Rashi says in the top Rashi, Ki Amri Lo Gozal Havlu Treyu Trey. If these two judges say, no, he's not a gazlon, but there were two other witnesses that say he is a gazlon. But only Skasha Bahochi. So even though the two judges say he's not a gazlan, that wouldn't qualify him to be a judge, because the kaima law, the kaima pirkin, we're going to learn on daf chavav in our perek, ein ira pachas mishnayim. The only way this could have been an ira, the two witnesses saying he's a gazlan. So therefore, this would be a classical situation, trey or trey. So it won't help. So what are we talking about over here? That these two judges are trying to restore the reputation of the third judge by saying that he's not a gazlan. It can't be, because it'd be trey or trey. If it was that, not that he was a gazlan, but that there's a problem with his lineage, let's say they say that he's not a valid judge because of lineage issues, so then Gili Milsa Biyamo. So then this is a Gili Milsa. So why should it make a difference whether they testify about this before or after they signed? As Rashi points out over here in Dibur Maskul, the Paga Mishpacha, Sheidu Olav Shu Evet. Somebody came along and testified that he was an Evet. The Evet Pasul Ledayin. And the Evet can't be a Dayin or Leedus. So Kavachomer Meisha. This is learned out of the Kavachomer Meisha can't be an aid or a Dayin. So certainly an Evet can't be. As the Gemara in Perakachova will tell us in Babu Kama. So the Gemara Rashi says it's just a gilui milsa b'yamahu. Misha chosmu amai ein me'idin lab. Even if they signed, why can't they testify? It's about a fact. My chashad noge be'edusiko. There is no negias over here for these two witnesses. They're just clarifying a fact. Hocha davar zet tzrichin hein levarer v'davar osu legalusu sheivduku acharav achi yivarer hadavar. There's no negias over here. They're just declaring a fact. No, you're saying that his father was an avid. No, the father wasn't an avid. Here's the proof. And they're testifying that he's not. So this is something that will ultimately reveal. It has nothing to do with their negias over here. They're stating a fact. And since their fact is a fact, so in this situation, what difference does it make if it's before they signed or after they signed? They're not no gabadavar. So again, what was the problem over here? What did Rabbi Abba tell us? That only if before they sign, they can testify, but after they sign, they can't testify because they are no geir b'davar. So he says, Li'olam emilcho ara de gazlanusa. We are talking about in the first situation that we had said that two witnesses came along and said that he was a gazlan, and they're coming to state that he's not a gazlan. So the Gemara says, V'karmi hani yadinam be de'ava tshuva. So the two witnesses that are the judges, they're coming along and saying, yes, we're not arguing with him. It's not a trey. We agree that he once was a goslin, but we know for a fact that he did tshuva. Now, the first two who testified that he was a goslin aren't stating that he didn't do tshuva. They're just saying 5 years ago he was a goslin. We were aware that he was definitely a thief, and we're testifying to that. And the other two judges, the other two witnesses who were the two judges, is saying, yes, we are aware that he was a thief, but you should know that for the last 5 years he's been sitting and learning and doing tshuva, and now he's a qualified judge, and his prior history shouldn't ruin him to be a judge. He's allowed to, after he did tshuva, to become a judge. So that's what these two witnesses are saying. Therefore, it's not trey ninu. It's two witnesses coming along saying he was a goslin, and the two judges who are functioning now as witnesses are saying that, in fact, he has done tshuva. So it's not Edu Samachisha Zodzu, it's two different testimonies. And therefore, that's what Rabbi Abba said in the name of who, in the name of Rav. If, in fact, they said this before the signing of this henpik, so then they're not nogei abadavar, because they have nothing to lose. They're just stating what's truth to them, that the guy did tshuva. And therefore, they have no nogias, because if, let's say, their testimony is not accepted, so then they won't sign with him, and no harm done. But if they already signed, then we have to be concerned that they don't want to be associated with this guy. And therefore, since he has a bad reputation, they better come up with some reason why they can't be associated with him, because it's too late. They're already associated with him on the shtar, and therefore, we have to be concerned they're nogea bidavar. The next mission is a little bit further down, so let's continue going already. It's a relatively still short shiur. Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira says, Hamilsa mi Rebbe Abba Shmili. This matter was just stated, I had learned from Rabbi Abba, V'ilav Rabbi Abba de min Akko shechachta. But if it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Abba min Akko, as Rashi says, shiskirili lachazman, reminded me of it at a later point in time, I would have forgotten. And this is the thing. Shlosha sheyoshu l'kayim es hashtar, if three judges are going there to authenticate a shtar and write a hempik on it, umei sechamehem, and one of the judges, Nebuch, passed away before they actually signed it, when they're writing down this henpek, which was authenticated by the three judges, albeit one of them is no longer alive, so they have to write down that originally, that we originally authenticated the shtar as three judges, but one of them is no longer with us, one of them, Nebuch, passed away. So they have to write that down so it doesn't look like shikra, because otherwise it would look like only two judges had authenticated the shtar. As Rashi says in Dira Masot Tzrichel Mechtav, he writes, the Kiyam Ashtar B'Shlosha, that the Kiyam took place with three. The authentication took place with three judges, but if they only see two signatures on the bottom of the handpick, V'aro Shnayim Chasumim Bo Yomer Shebishnayim Kimu, they're going to mistakenly think that there was two judges that had authenticated this and not three. So as Tosus points out, Dira Masot B'Mosef Tlosa, you have to write down that there were three of us originally, and Kivan the Kosa Behedja B'Mosef Tlosa Havina, since you're writing down specifically there were three of us, Ve'en Chosu Bo Kim Shtayim, but only two sign it, then this will be perfectly fine and won't cause any mistaken notions that two judges had only adjudicated this then. Alternatively, on Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, another way you could do this would be writing V'Kosav Be Shtora Dinan Nefak L'Kadoma Be Dina Tu Lo Tzarech. Alternatively, you can just write that this shtar came in front of this Beis Din, and it was authenticated, and then if you only have two signatures, that's no problem, because people will see that it came in front of a Beis Din, and by definition, the Beis Din is three. So the word says, wait a second, according to Rav Nachum Yitzchak, that implies that a Beis Din of two could never exist, But the din is v'dilma beis din chatzafu ukidishmu. Maybe this goes in accordance with Shmuel, who says that a beis din of two judges is a beis din chatzav. How are they so certain that they won't have an argument and that they won't have a de'ah shlishi yachriya b'neihem? That's why you have an odd number of judges. So you're never left with a stalemate that one judge says this and one judge says that. And they can't come to a conclusion. So if you have a third judge, it'll be majority wins, two against one. So a beis din of two judges is called a beis din chatzav. So one might have thought that that's not a kosher beis din, but the bottom line is Shmuel said, the Amar Shmuel, yes, shnayim shadanu dinayim din. Two judges can adjudicate a din. And while they're called a beis din chatzav, the bottom line is that they both agree on it, it is a valid beis din. So therefore, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, the fact that two judges sign in the bottom, that's going to lead people to think that there wasn't a real valid beis din of three, but it was a valid beis din of two, albeit a beis din chatzav. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok is not as good as what Rabbi Zayred said, that you should write down, b'nosav t'losav inu v'chad le'sowi. So it's much better to do what Rav Zayir said, to write down that we were three, but now we're only two because one died, rather than writing that we were a beis din and only two people signed it because it could look like it's a beis din chatzav. So Gemara says, no, even Rav Nachman Yitzchak is okay because the siv bey, it says in this document, beidina derabbanan ashi, that this was certified in the beis din of Rav Ashi. Now clear, it's Rav Ashi's beis din, it certainly wouldn't be a beis din chatzav, it would be a beis din of three judges. Where it says, nu, who says that? The Duma, Rabbanan Devei Rav Ashi, Kedishmuz Filu. Maybe they in fact hold it like Shmuel. The two judges are actually good, albeit it's a beis din chatzav. So how can you prove that it definitely means three judges if they write down it came from the Rabbanan Ashi, it came from the beis din of Rav Ashi? So where it says, no, Dichsiv Bey, because it's written on it, the Amalona Rabbanan Ashi, that Rav Ashi wrote in it that he told them to go and write this henpeck. So clearly you have Rav Ashi and then the two signatures, so it clearly is a beis din of three. In any event, there is no concern, according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, if you were to write down in front of the beis din of Rav Ashi and Rav Ashi instructed them, that would be just as good language as what Raziri had suggested, to say that it was b'mosav t'losav, that there were originally three, and then Nebuch, one of them passed away and isn't here with us, b'leisowi, and therefore it's acceptable to have two signatures on the bottom. With this, we conclude today's share.